Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. We're coming to you from Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, producer Mike Harris by my side to make this thing sound good. We're only days removed from the 2012 NFL Draft, and it's time to review what happened. Seven rounds. The Vikings had 10 selections. It happened over 3 days, and there was lots of action. You're going to hear plenty from me about it for the next several months. So let's lean on a man who is integral in the selections and get his opinion. That's Scott Studwell. Scott, let's talk about the Vikings draft. The only disappointing thing is there's no Illinois player selected by the Vikings. What the heck's up with that?
A lot of them went early, though, didn't they?
Yeah, one did. How do you say his last name? Merciless?
Merciless.
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 Is he merciless?
He's a tremendous athlete, but he's still, a little bit raw in some of his technical part of his game, but he's got a lot of pass rush potential.
Yeah, well, a lot of the guys are at this stage, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
A lot of them are raw. And we got a guy who hopefully will be able to block him, and we'll get to Matt Khalil later. But you were selected by the Vikings out of Illinois back in 77 with a ninth-round pick. Now there's seven rounds. So that's just one aspect of the draft that's changed over the years, huh?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, back then there were 12 rounds, and I got a phone call late on a Sunday afternoon, said I was selected with the ninth pick and that they'd see me in August, and that's the last I heard from them. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's changed a little bit.
And now the guys come in 4 or 5 days. Actually, they come in the day after they're picked if they're high enough profile and we put them in front of the media, but then they come in the next weekend for a minicamp.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a different era. You know, back then, first time I saw anybody's when I showed up for camp. So it's a little bit different.
The players would like it if that was the case now, actually.
I don't know. I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, I think the way we're doing things now, it's the young players have an opportunity to come in and learn your system, to get acclimated to what you're doing. And the rookies today are much farther advanced than we were back in 1977.
Yeah. So you come in as a ninth rounder, you stick around, you become one of the best linebackers we've had, and you're a Ring of Honor member. It's just one of many examples of late round picks or undrafted guys that end up sticking in the NFL and making a difference. John Randall was an undrafted player. These guys, these late round guys we got, and now all the undrafted kids, some of them can play, right?
Well, you just never know. I mean, it's you can measure players' talents. You can measure what you see on film. A lot of the things that you can't measure is how important the game is to them, their football passion, their football character. In a lot of places, these players that come in as undrafted players, they're at the right place at the right time. They make a roster, then they become better players over the course of their career. So, it's an educated guess, and you just go through the drafts throughout history. I mean, there's a lot of number one picks that have not panned out and a lot of free agents that have. There's no perfect way to do this, and sometimes it's better being lucky than good.
Yeah, for sure. Vikings Director of College Scouting, Scott Studwell, the guest. So you head up our college scouting department. We just had the draft, but you're not going on like a 2-week vacation here. You have some work to do. Rookie minicamp. Are you a bystander? Are you evaluating? What do you do at rookie minicamp?
Well, we're just going to really look at the players that we drafted first and foremost, and the players that we signed as college free agents. We've got almost 70 players coming into this rookie minicamp, which is the largest we've ever had. So, and hopefully there'll be a handful of players that are walk-ons, quite honestly, that can show enough within the next 2 or 3 days. At least, if not bring them to camp, they're on your radar. If you get some people hurt, the rosters are going to turn over a lot between now and even the time you go to camp. So, it's an opportunity for us to get another look at some of the local kids here, look at some of the players that have been out of the league for a year or two. And there's always going to be a surprise or two. Marcus Sherrills is still on our football team, and he was a mini camp walk-on for us. So you never know.
When you and Rick or George Payton, or maybe when you were alone having a beer relaxing, what were your thoughts of our draft?
First of all, I think, Rick and George and Rob, they did a remarkable job. I think being patient, you know, letting things come to us rather than forcing other people's hands. You know, the trade that we made in the first round obviously was I don't want to call it a coup because I think it was a win-win for both teams. Yeah. You know, Cleveland got the player they wanted. We got the player we wanted. We got some extra picks that gave us some flexibility in the draft. We were able to use another one of our fours to move up and pick Harrison Smith.
Right.
So, you know, all in all, it was a great weekend. You know, we'll know 3 years from now whether all these players are as good as we think they are. But you know, we're happy with the character of these guys. I think they all have a legitimate chance to make our team in one form or another. So, you know, and that's what we need. I mean, we need an infusion of young players here, and I think some of these players are ready to play this year and contribute this year, and if not, hopefully there'll be players down the road.
Yeah. One of those guys who's going to be ready right away, I assume, is Matt Khalil. So he's our first-round pick, number 4 overall. Let's dig into some of these players with Matt. As you wrote up your report on him and you guys talked about him, what were some traits with Matt that made him an elite prospect?
Well, you know, he's a great natural athlete for the position. I mean, he's almost 6'7". He's long. He can bend. He's got great feet. He's got long arms. He's intelligent. He's got very good bend. Great lateral change for a guy his size. He can adjust in space. I mean, he can do basically everything we want out of any of our offensive line positions. But he's, you know, he's a very good foot athlete, obviously a great career at USC, and there's no reason why that shouldn't carry over to our league. He's going to have his bumps in the road like they all do,
right.
but he's a top talent and should be a great fit here.
The Vikings have had good left tackles for a lot of our franchise's history, and Bryant McKinney was a good one. Ron Yeary, who also went to USC, was a good one. Those are just two examples. It's an important part of a team. Now, one question, not to get too hardcore about it, but you said he has excellent bend. So when you talk about bend for a left tackle, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, he's for a guy that's 6'7", I mean, he can drop his weight on contact. He's a natural knee bender. You know, so he's got a lot of flexibility in both his lower body, he's in his hips. He can play with leverage for a tall player. He can get his hat under people's defenders' pads, and you know, and that's and not many left tackles in this league can do that. You know, we were a little bit spoiled with Bryant just because Bryant was so big,
right?
And you know, he was such a great athlete for his size, and got away with a lot of things technically just because he was so massive. But, you know, Matt's a completely different type of player, probably a better natural athlete. He can move better. He can work in space better. Yeah. He's just not going to have the same kind of mass that Bryant had.
Sure. Later in the first round, you move up and get Harrison Smith. We get lucky there because that's about where he was supposed to go, maybe even a little bit earlier. So we get good value, but he also plays a position where we needed him. As you wrote up Harrison Smith and you guys talked about him, what did you like about Harrison?
You know, Harrison was one of those players that may not be the elite type of athlete that you were looking for at the position, but I think the more you watched him and the more people that saw him, he grows on you.
Yeah.
Just because he's such a smart, steady player. He's got very good size for the position. I think he's got probably better range than maybe some people will give him credit for as a hole player or as a hash player. He's got good enough speed and quickness to cover man underneath with tight ends and backs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we probably would do him a disservice if we isolate him on a lot of slot receivers and such.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, he's going to be smart enough to take away the angles and do what he has to do to handle that type of responsibility. The more you watch him, it's just the guy was always in position to make plays, and he made plays, and he was productive, and he's smart. He's durable. He's dependable. He's everything you're looking for to run the back end and upgrade the group.
Scott Studwell, the guest on today's Wobcast, Director of College Scouting. We're breaking down the 2012 NFL draft from a Vikings perspective. Elite athleticism is something our third-round pick does have, Josh Robinson. He was the fastest kid at the combine, performed well in a lot of other tests, too, other than just the straight-line speed. So how does he translate into this defense? What's he going to do to help us?
Well, he's got exceptional cover skills. He was probably one of the top two or three cover corners in this draft. I mean, just from a speed and quickness and transition standpoint, he's got very good size for the position. He's almost 200 pounds. We didn't get all wrapped up in the speed. We thought he played fast. We didn't think he would run that fast, but it's a bonus. But, you know, and he's still a little rough around the edges and needs to fine-tune his game and become, you know, a better support player at times and learn how to chase the ball at times. But they all do. And it's, you know, he's a young player. He's a junior. He's going to take his lumps along the way as well. But he's got a great foundation to build on. He's a quality kid and a good person. He's smart. He's instinctive. There's a huge upside there. Sure. We just got to get it out of him.
And then we took Jarius Wright, Rhett Ellison, and Greg Childs. We'll get into some of those guys later. But I want to skip right to Robert Blanton, Notre Dame defender. We took in the fifth round. Some people had him listed as a corner, some as a safety. I think he played a lot of corner. Looks like, you know, what Rick has said, that we might think about moving him to safety. What about his game translates well to safety after playing corner in college?
He's a big physical athlete. Yeah. There may be some shortcomings if you're just going to pencil him in as a corner. But he's, you know, he runs well enough. He's got the size and the length you want outside to contend with the big receivers in our division, obviously.
Yeah, right.
But overall, he's a very smart, heady player. I mean, he's wound up. He's actually probably wound a little too tight, but he's the kind of player you want on your team. I think his movement skills would transition very well to safety. I think he's going to have some position flexibility as either a safety or a corner or possibly a nick. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that we can do with him.
Sure.
He'll be a good teams player for us. So, the value for his abilities where we got him, I think, is tremendous. He wants to be here. He wants to be a good player, and that's half the battle.
Yeah. One of the most exciting moments of the draft for us down here in the studio, Paul Allen was in there. We're watching the fourth round, and we take two receivers and three picks, and exciting players too. I want to get to Jarius Wright. First team all SEC receiver last year, over 1,000 receiving yards. Is he a version of Percy Harvin? Is that a fair comparison? Or what kind of player are we going to see when he gets on the field?
I guess you could make some of those same comparisons. He's not as big and as physical as Percy is and was coming out. He's got tremendous ball skills. He's got great speed and quickness. Ideally, is he a slot receiver? Maybe. But, we can also put him outside. I mean, he can do a lot of things. He's got potential as a returner, primarily more a punt returner than kickoff returner. Real mature, squared away kid, passionate about football. He's an intelligent football player. So he's got a lot of value and flexibility within our system. And, you know, he'll be like Percy in some of the respects that you can get the ball to him underneath and he can make people miss and he can turn a routine catch into a big gain. So, he's got playmaking ability at that level. He's got playmaking potential at ours.
And the story with him and Greg Childs, I'm sure you got into that when you were doing background and you guys interviewed him. They grow up together, go to elementary school together, play high school football together, play college football together. They both go to the NFL. They both are drafted. They're both drafted in the fourth round, and they're drafted by the same team. I can't imagine, you've been around the NFL for 35 years, that you haven't probably seen a story like that.
You know, not really. And I mean, it really didn't come into play when we picked either one of them. But it's a good storyline. I think it's probably, when you look back on it, it's probably a great situation for both of them to be in. I think their comfort level when they both get here will be much better than some of the other players because they're coming into a new environment and they're going to have each other to lean on, and they're really completely different players.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got a big outside receiver and a smaller inside receiver, and they both have playmaking skills in their own right. So we're happy to have them both, and I think they're both going to contribute, and hopefully they should both be great players for us.
The draft's over. When you look back on how long you guys have been preparing for this, it's a year-round thing, but what's your favorite part of the whole thing? You like being on the road? You like coming back here for meetings? You know, what's the coolest part of it, or does it change every year?
You know, I think it's this time of year, you're happy to have it over.
Yeah, so is your family.
Because it's a grind. I mean, we work on this draft for almost 10 months.
Wow.
And there's a lot of work that goes into it. I think it's we go down to a Blesto scouting meeting in 2 weeks, and we start over. So it's a long, involved process. It's guys have to get away from it a little bit. But, once we go to camp, we amp up our scouting, college scouting, and we're on the road for the next 9 months. So, it's a grind. We need the time off, but, probably a couple of weeks from now, I'll be ready to start watching tape again and start looking towards next year.
No, a couple of weeks from now is the fishing opener. You'll be on a lake, right?
I don't know if I'll be on a lake here, but hopefully we can have some time to get up to our cabin over in Wisconsin and decompress a little bit.
All right, before we go, one more thing I want to tease you about. We won't get too much into it because it's kind of a coaching issue, but you – a hard-nosed blue-collar linebacker, we take a kicker. You had to evaluate a kicker, and you had a draftable grade on him. How did you even bring yourself to talk about that?
No comment.
Okay.
No, actually, I mean, I saw Blair down at the my first exposure to Blair was at the East-West game, to be honest with you, and he impressed me with his leg strength. He impressed me with his work ethic. I mean, he's all business. He's all about kicking, and he's, he had a little bit of a down year this year from a field goal percentage standpoint, but the kid's got a great leg. I think it's really important to him, and he's one of the guys that we had targeted. So he's got a chance.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes these guys a year or two to find their niche in the league, but he plays bigger than his size now. He's not going to impress you with his size, but he's got a very strong leg, and I think he's serious about it. He wants to be a good kicker in our league, and it was a organizational decision to draft him, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, very diplomatic answer. That's fine. We won't put that one on you. I'm sure you get a hard time from that from all your buddies around the league, but thanks for joining us. You guys had a great draft. Congratulations. Hope you can find some free time and go fishing or something like that, and then you got to get right back to it.
I will. Appreciate it, Mike.
Okay. Thanks, Scott.
You bet.
All right. We're going to get the scout out of the room and get down to a little bit of coaching business and talk about the position battles that were created coming off of the 2012 NFL draft. And there's a lot to get to, but let's focus on a couple of the most important ones. We'll get flashier as we go along. So let's start on the offensive line. You take Matt Khalil at left tackle. That presents pretty good competition at right guard and left guard for the Vikings. With Khalil in the fold, he goes obviously to left tackle. That means last year's left tackle, Charlie Johnson, he's going to slide to the right one spot. He's going to be your new left guard in my estimation. Obviously, you're set at center with John Sullivan. Right tackle, Phil Loholt comes back to be the starter. Where the big-time competition begins is going to be at right guard. Free agent acquisition, Jeff Schwartz comes from Carolina. You pencil him in maybe as the slight favorite, but right behind him, a six-round pick from 2011, Brandon Fusco, and a fifth-round pick from 2010, Chris DeGeer. Those three competing for starting time at right guard. May the best man win. And when it all comes down to it, when you have a big, robust competition like that at a position such as right guard or even left guard with Charlie Johnson, the interior offensive line, the guys who don't win initially a starting job, you're going to keep those guys because a lot of times left guard and right guard is an interchangeable position. So along with having good competition for the starting jobs, the Vikings are going to have pretty good backup help and reserve swing versatile linemen. That's going to be good news because our offensive line play needs to improve coming off of last year. Let's move on to the next one. That's cornerback. The Vikings took a cornerback in the third round in Josh Robinson. That's where the competition begins. I think you're set with Cook and Winfield as your top two corners. Hopefully Winfield can play nickel, put him full-time over these quick slot receivers. You need to be aware in the slot. Winfield is one of our most aware players. Cook on the outside. So now we need another outside cornerback. Josh Robinson enters the fray. He's going to join free agent acquisitions Chris Carr and Zach Bowman. Those three will compete for time, and then you throw into the mix returners like Asher Allen, Marcus Sherrills, and Brandon Burton. That's going to be a great offseason and training camp competition among all of those guys. Josh Robinson, fastest player at the combine. You think he might be in line for a punt return job too? That's going to increase his value. That will be a fun competition to watch as the offseason progresses. We go to safety. We'll stay in the defensive backfield. You draft Harrison Smith in the first round. He's going to be your starter. You also draft another Notre Dame member of their secondary. That's Robert Blanton in the fifth round. You're going to throw him in with Mistrell Raymond and Jamarcus Sanford and try and come up with a starting safety to start alongside Harrison Smith. Mistrell Raymond, Jamarcus Sanford, Robert Blanton, the three names to watch for the second starting safety position in this Vikings defense. Let's go to wide receiver. I think you're going to be set, obviously, with Percy Harvin. Jerome Simpson has a three-game suspension. When he comes back from that, he's going to be an outside receiver for you. Now you need a few more to contribute in 2012. Returning guys, Michael Jenkins, he looks like a good bet for a roster spot. You're going to have Devin Aromashadu, Stephen Burton, Manny Arsenault, and others competing for time. The Vikings drafted two receivers from the University of Arkansas in Jarius Wright and Greg Childs. That's where the competition comes into play. Those youngsters were drafted high enough and come in well-regarded that you're probably not going to be able to slip them through to the practice squad. So they're going to have to earn a spot or they're not going to be on a roster. Again, it's going to be Jarius Wright, Greg Childs, Devin Aromashadu, Stephen Burton, Manny Arsenault, plus a few others. Throw Michael Jenkins in there, and you're going to try and complement Percy Harvin and Jerome Simpson. Those are the most exciting position battles going on right now after the 2012 NFL Draft. Obviously, more will develop as the offseason program goes on and as we get closer to training camp. That is it for us today. I'm Mike Wobshaw. Thanks again for listening. We'll leave you with the entrance song of William Regal. Take it away.
He's a man. Such a man.
Such a man.